John 10:10 is our series scripture. Last week we began this series called Live and Let Live. And it's really a spinoff from the series we were in called Foundations. In that Foundations series, you may remember that we covered things like faith, hope, and love in the part one of that series. And then we went into second part of that series and we covered the way and the truth and the life. Well, now we're on the life. And once I arrived at the life, I said it last week, it seemed to take a life of its own, so to speak, and really has become its own series. So thus a spinoff from Foundation series. And now we find ourselves in week two of Live and Let Live, a life series. During this series, I want to take, there are seven characteristics that a biologist is someone who studies life. It could be that class that you and I slept through in high school, biology. But it was seven characteristics of that a biologist would take to determine something is alive. And I want to go through each one of those during this seven-week series. And last week, we asked ourselves the question, being made of what? Or what are we made of? And in our physical bodies, we're made of cells. And our cells have DNA. And that DNA determines our genetics. And it determines who we are and how we develop and what we look like. But as Christians, our cells, our DNA can be changed. And in fact, must be changed. Because our original spiritual cells and what we are originally made of, our original DNA, is sinful and carnal. It's bad. In fact, the scripture called us children of wrath. But I thank God that with Christ, we can have a genetic engineering of sense. We can have our cells changed from the carnality to his holiness and his perfection. And our DNA can be changed from children of wrath to children of God. And so we asked the question last week, and I ask it again this morning, have we had that change in our lives? Has our cellular components, our makeup, been changed to new life in Christ? And I urge us that if we have not, today's the day to do that. With Christ, we can be the doctrinal truth that we said last week that we looked at was regenerated. We can experience this regeneration through Jesus Christ, and our nature is changed. We are reborn. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. John 3:6 says it this way, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, every one of us, without a doubt, has been born of the flesh this morning. And I can look around and I can see that, but our question today, have we been born again of the Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit drawn us, and have we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and allowed him to regenerate our hearts and our lives? You say, Pastor, is that really necessary? Well, a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus got right to the point. And you'll remember this from last week. And in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, he said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that brings us back to our series text this morning, John 10:10, from the Good News Translation. And I like what Jesus says here in John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. One translation said life abundant, full life, life more abundant. Can I tell you this morning that having full life or abundant life is not about having stuff. It's not about having material possessions or achievements or positions. But it is about having peace and joy and a relationship with God himself. How many knows that we can have everything that this world has to offer, but it does us no good if there's not peace in our hearts? If there's not joy in our lives, and we can find those things only through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so having fullness of life in God helps us find, and this brings us to our topic this week, it helps us find balance and stability in our lives. And this week I want to look at the second characteristic that biologists would use to determine that something or someone is alive, and that is something called homeostasis. And simply put, what homeostasis is, it's the ability to maintain balance and stability within our physical bodies. An example of that is our bodies are able, when we're well, they are able to maintain a temperature of 98.6 degrees, even when the environment around us and the temperatures and the pressures around us may fluctuate and change, our bodies are able to maintain, when we're healthy, 98.6 degrees. And that is an example of homeostasis, of balance, of stability within our lives. And so we come to the question this morning and we say, Pastor, you preached about being born again last week. But now I want to be born again and I accepted Christ as my Savior and I want to serve Him, I want to live for Him, but I'm not sure that I can. Well, let me just answer that question up front. First and foremost, in myself and in yourself, we can't. But I want to tell you that there is a blessed hope and a blessed promise, a blessed assurance in the Bible, in the Scripture, that tells us through God and His grace, we can serve Him. We can live for Him. He has made a way, and that's what I hope to endeavor to preach about this morning and to talk about how we can lean upon Him and we can learn of Him and we can find our balance and our stability in Jesus Christ. If you believe that, just say amen this morning. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse number 1. Ephesians 4, starting with verse number 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy. Everybody say worthy. So what happens is when we are regenerated, when we come to know Christ, something happens, a switch switches in our lives, so to speak, and we decide that we need to walk better, we need to live better, and there's something in us. We want to walk worthy. We want to do better. And he said, Paul said here, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let me stop right here and just remind us that God is the only God. Jehovah God is the only God. And Jesus Christ is the only way to God. We will not find stability. We will not find peace or joy or anything trying to find Him through any other path or any other religion or any other way. And verse 7 goes on to say, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christians who are living out the reality of who we are in Christ, we see that Paul begins to contrast our old ways to our new ways. Our old way of thinking, our own way of living to new ways of thinking and new ways of living. And I find it akin to taking off an old coat. There used to be an old song that maybe some of you have sung before through the years, but it talked about, said, the best thing I ever did do was I took off the old coat and I put on the new. And I akin it to this. You take off an old coat and we lay it down. It seems like many times throughout the year, my wife will go into closets and produce trash bags full of things that have somehow multiplied within the closets. Spontaneous combustion. I don't know. I really don't know where these things come from. I don't know if someone comes in the middle of the night and slides them into the closet. I don't know if it's elves coming down a chimney. I don't know. But several times a year, there will be trash bag and then another trash bag. And watch out walking up the stairs as she throws another trash bag of things that we are cleaning out of the closet. and I load them up into something, and I drive around for a few weeks and forget that they're back there, and then finally I remember and I take them to Goodwill. That's usually the pattern. Press repeat. We do that a couple times a year. But can I tell you that sometimes we need to clean out some things? But our lives with Christ are akin to that. When we come to know Christ, there are some things that must be bagged up and thrown out. Bagged up and taken off. Not like I do and drive around with them and deciding when I'm going to actually drop them off. But when we come to know Christ, there are things that need to be cleaned out. And so that old song talked about taking off an old coat and putting on a new coat. So how can we do this? Let's look at that point one. First, after we have been regenerated, after we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we must realize and understand that we are then justified. Everybody say that word, justified. See, I was guilty before God, but God declared me righteous by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way: for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So he made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, I don't know about you, but some days I don't feel very righteous. But I have to, by faith, believe that he has given me his righteousness. God declares that those who place their faith in Christ become righteous. So this becomes our standing. This becomes our stability. This becomes our place to plant our feet. Now, the young man that you see there on the screen is trying to balance his heart and his mind, and he's kind of tinkering back and forth. But can I tell you this morning, as children of God, we don't have to be off balance. We can know that we are saved. We can know that we know that our name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can know that God has made a change in our life and that our salvation has been secured. So how do I live in this life? How do I live in this world? How do I live with the pressures that surround me and the disappointments and the heartaches and the problems, the pressures, the temptations, everything that is in this life? How do I live? First and foremost, I determine in my mind as a Christian, I have been justified by God. And the matter has been settled. If you know that the matter has been settled this morning, just give me a 4th of July amen this morning. You see, I'm not innocent. Now, you might look at me, or let me say maybe one of my aunts or my great aunts or grandmamas or somebody might look at me and say, oh, he's so innocent. Can I tell you I'm not innocent? Can I tell you you're not innocent? And can I tell you, to approach a holy God, I can't remain guilty. So I find myself in a quagmire. I find myself in a hard spot in myself. I am not innocent. I can't stand before God guilty, but he looks at me when I come to him and he says, no, but I'm going to justify you. Just as if I have never sinned. Isn't that wonderful news this morning? Isn't that news that the world needs to know, that our position, our standing can be declared righteous and we can be identified as one of God's children? Can I tell you that when I went to Radford Hospital, not once, not twice, but three times over, and I had to endure the pains of childbirth, and I had to sleep on a pull-out couch and probably paid $2,000 for it. I don't know. And endured that labor. Wasn't it tough? Ooh. And endured that labor. And I picked up that baby number one, baby number two, baby number three, and we took them and we wrapped them up and we carried them out and we put them in the car and we took them home. You know why? Because they were our children. And if somebody had looked at me and said, well, you give them to me? Absolutely not. You know how you are with the first one and the bubble. You don't even let grandparents hardly look at that first one. You get to number three and you say, here you go. You know how it changes. The first one, you drop the pacifier and you have to boil it in water for 15 minutes. The third one, you drop it, it's been laying there for who knows how long. Oh yeah, it's okay. Everything changes. But regardless of all of that, when I brought them home, when we brought them home from that hospital, they were our children. They were going to be our children. They are our children today. They're going to be our children tomorrow. And there's nothing that's going to cause them to not be my children. I am determined I am their father. And I can't help but think that God gets a little territorial about you and about me. And after we come to him and we say, God, forgive us, regenerate us, I want to be born again, we are then his children. And he wraps us in his love. And we can identify as children of God. And guess what? When I go to McDonald's and pull up a plate to eat, they sit down and pull up a plate too. Why? They're my children. When I go on a trip, they go on a trip with me. Why? Because they're my children. And he told me, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I will go with you even unto the end. He went so far to say that no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that beautiful this morning? So I can stand justified this morning just as if I have never sinned because I am a child of God. I identify with him. Secondly, after we have been justified and our standing before God has been secured, then we go into what some writers call we've just looked at a positional justification. We go into what some theologians call a progressive justification. Or in our tradition, we use the term sanctification. Can I tell you, it is still a beautiful thing to preach and teach and more importantly, live out sanctification. Sanctification comes about first because our heart is changed and we want to live like Christ. I have to believe this morning when I look around this room that every one of us, we want to live like Christ. We want to be more Christ-like. Why? Because our heart has been changed. So here's a question for you. Is sanctification immediate or is sanctification an ongoing process? I'm glad you asked that question this morning. Is it immediate? Is it an ongoing process? Yes and yes. I thank God that he can touch us with his power and with his Holy Spirit anointing and he can purge some things out of our lives. Have you ever had that happen? And I promise you this morning, if there's a habit in your life, if there is something in your life and you know it's not Christ-like, he can touch you and he can sanctify you by his power. But sanctification is also a process that we live out daily, day by day, sometimes even hour by hour and moment by moment. Can I get an amen this morning? Proverbs 4:18 says it this way. I really liked what Solomon wrote here in the proverb, but the path of the righteous is like the dawn which shines brighter and brighter until full day. What is he saying? Every day I'm getting a little brighter. Wouldn't that be beautiful to think about? Every day I'm looking more like Christ. Every day I'm growing in grace. Every day my life is looking more like Christ. That is an ongoing sanctification. And I pray, God, let it be our prayer each day. Look with me, please, to Ephesians. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 9. And we're going to start at verse 10. This week, it says, for we are his workmanship. Anybody have a shop that you go to and you woodwork or you work on things? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now watch this. We've been prepped. We have been prepped. Now, we have a culinary genius among us, Mike Temple. It's all over Facebook, where he cooks pizzas and he has all these things that he has prepped. He preps them and then he's going to cook them. But can I tell you that God has, in a sense, prepped all of us to become more like him and to live out good works within our lives. You see, God has a plan for you and for me. And so as we progress through this life, as we draw nearer to him and more like him, must we remember that he, before we were even born, had plans for each one of us and good works, and we are his workmanship. Now let me stop right here as it just hits me, and I want to say it. We might be sitting here this morning, and you say, well, Pastor, you know, that's great. And I know there's been times in my life that God has done good things in my life and out of my life. And I know I'm his workmanship, but I just feel like I have failed the Lord. And I don't feel like I'm in a good spot right now. Can I tell you that one of the wonderful things about sanctification is that God gives us grace to live it. He gives us grace to live it. Our hearts are changed and we want to serve God and we want to do right and we want to avoid sin. But can I tell you that there might be a time or two, there might be many times that we feel like we've sinned and we've failed the Lord. Can I tell you his grace is sufficient? And we go to him, we say, God, I have failed. I need you to forgive me. I want you to help me. I want you to purify this thing in my life. We're his workmanship. So if everything in your life has not been totally worked out, I want to tell you, look to the great craftsman who wants to work in your life. And Philippians 1:6 tells me this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has started a good work in me, I'm going to make it personal, will perform it, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. How can I have balance in this world? How can I have stability in this world? How can I, when I know that sometimes I fail the Lord and I fall short sometimes, how can I have balance and stability? Because I know that God started something in my life many years ago. How about you this morning? How many knows that there was a time of conversion when you know that God started something in your life and changed your very life? And if you know that, then you know that he will be faithful to continue to perform that work in your life. And he's the one that does it. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Ephesians 2:20-24 is another passage I wanted to look at briefly this morning. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, here it is, that you put off. Everybody say, put off. I would say, look at your neighbor and say, you're such a put off, but we won't do that. But Paul said that you put off concerning your former conduct. Just like those trash bags we talked about carrying out, just like that old coat we talked about taking off. There's some things that we need to, with the help of the Lord, put off with our former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And watch this, 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here is where we talk again about our progressive sanctification. It's our part and our responsibility too. God is working, but we need to do our part as well. And one of those is to renew our minds. How do we renew our minds? Through the scripture and through praying and through being in settings like this and through worshiping. We need to renew our mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, let me contrast some things. Actually, let's just skip to Colossians 3. Can we go to Colossians 3, starting at verse 1? And I want to just take a little bit of time here, if I can slow down, and I just want to show you some specific things that Paul tells us that needs to be put off, that's our part to get rid of, stay away from. Colossians 3, 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Hear it again about the mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. That struck me very, very profoundly as I was studying this message. For you died. Now you look at me this morning, you say, no, Pastor, I'm very much alive. Here I am, I'm breathing. But when we came to Christ, our old man, our old woman died. That old nature died. And the Bible said we're now hidden in Christ. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now look at verse 5 with me and let me just slow down and just put it out here. Therefore, put to death. Here's some things that we as Christians must put to death in our members on the earth. Some things that we must not do, that we must get rid of. One is fornication. Fornication is having sexual relations with anybody else that isn't our own spouse. Uncleanness, passion, lust, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. That's wanting things that aren't ours, obsessing on those things. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked. Everybody say, once walked. When you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off. And here's some other things to put in that bag that we are loading up to take to Goodwill and get rid of. Here's some other things to put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. We need to get rid of that potty mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now let me look at the other side, that's really beautiful side of the coin. Skip down with me to verse 12 and it's going to tell us some things to put on. We've put some things in the trash bags and we've taken them off, but there's some things we can put on and they're much better things. Verse 12 tells us to put on tender mercies, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness and long suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Let me tell you that if we want to find balance and stability and endure in this world in which we live, these are the attributes that we need to put on. And we will find more joy and more peace and more fulfillment in our lives that way. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Look at verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. They came to Jesus and they said, tell us the greatest commandment. And he said, to love God. And then the second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. Can I tell you? And he said, this fulfills all the law and all the prophets. Now, let me be very careful here. I'm not talking about love as defined by the world and a lustful love and a do as you will love. But can I tell you that if I love God and if I love my fellow man, I will not sin. Can I say that again? If I really love God, and I'm really walking in love towards God and my fellow man, I will fulfill all of the law and I won't sin during those times. Because love is the bond of perfection. What do you mean, Pastor? Take every one of the commandments and love conquers them all. If I love you, I'll not steal from you, nor will I take your spouse. If I love you, I won't covet what you have. I'll be thankful that you have what you have. Love fulfills the whole law and it is the bond of perfection. Look at verse 15. And the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all. Everybody say all. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I think my life would be tip-top, ship-shape, yes, sir, if I did everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Think about that. When you get off, cut off in traffic this week, what are you going to do in the name of the Lord Jesus? When we're tempted to react in a certain way or put on a certain attitude or whatever, may we think, what am I going to do in the name of the Lord Jesus? I think I would live differently, wouldn't I? So we have a position in Christ, we have progress in Christ, and finally, we look towards a perfection. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. But look back and say, yet. You're not perfect yet. You're not perfect yet. You remember we talked about when we came to know Christ, he started a work in us, and now he's progressing us through sanctification. But I want to tell you that one day we're going to experience something called glorification. And it's a beautiful thing that can I just preach this morning through the years we get so excited about heaven, and we've sung about heaven, and we shout about the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl and the mansions. And one lady, she just said, give me a cabin in the corner of glory land somewhere. And somebody shouted about that. I said, no, don't give me a cabin. I want a place that he's prepared for me. Give me everything that he has for me. But we've rejoiced about everything. But can I tell you, the true thing to rejoice about heaven stands more in the glorification and that final change that we're going to see. Because our bodies will be changed. And you say, Pastor, what shall we be, or who shall we be like? I don't know exactly what we shall be, but as I've studied this, I've realized we're going to be like Jesus Christ. And this immortal body is going to put on, this mortal body is going to put immortality on. And this corruptible body is going to put on incorruption, and we shall be changed. That's the beautiful thing that we ought to rejoice about in heaven. That's the wonderful thing that we ought to be excited about, that this body is going to be changed and we're going to have a perfect body. And more importantly, honing down a little bit deeper as I start to land this plane this morning, not only will this body be changed, but we will know God in his fullness, in the pureness of total perfection and holiness. Now, what a day that will be. Don't get me wrong. I get excited about the angels that are singing and the praises that they give. And I get excited about the mansion and the streets of gold. And I rejoice because of that. And I like those old songs and those things. And I think we ought to rejoice. But I tell you, the greatest and the sweetest thing above all is we're going to be like Jesus. That glorification. You say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Neither am I. But one day in his presence, we shall be like him. And that keeps us going, and that gives us something to look forward to. Would you stand with me this morning, musicians? Would you come and get ready? Can we sing that song, Come Let Us, the one you started with this morning, the upbeat song? I just want to end on 4th of July with a little different flow this morning. Look with me to Philippians 3, 20 and 21. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what's going to happen. Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I am going to be changed. You are going to be changed. So I ask us a question this morning, and then I'm going to ask them to sing, and we're going to rejoice before we leave this morning, rejoice about our freedom in Christ. But could we just bow our heads together and close our eyes? And in case you haven't figured out since I've been here a while, I'm very big on personal prayer time at the conclusions of service, and I love corporate prayer time, and that's important, and we need that. But I think it's very important, and I take it very seriously, that I ask you every week before we leave, or most every week, to take some time as an individual and examine our own hearts, examine our own minds and our own lives. And I ask you this morning, is your position secure? Is your position secure? Is your standing with God through Jesus Christ secure? If not, I invite you to come to the altar this morning and be saved. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. Or kneel right where you are and ask him to come into your heart and your life. pray right where you are. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, I don't want to limit where he can save you, but this altar is open if you want to come. If you want to be saved right where you are, then I encourage you to do that. Invite him into your heart. Let him change your life. Secondly, for those of us who say, yes, I know I'm justified. I know my position has been established. I ask you this morning, are you allowing God to work in your life and work a work of sanctification in you? Are you learning of him and leaning of him? Are you growing in him? I urge you this morning, all across this building, to search our hearts and say, Lord, I want to put off the things and put them in the trash bags and carry them out the steps or throw them down the steps. Whatever it is, I want to carry out and put off those things from the old man. And I want to put on the new. And I want to walk in the beauty of holiness and the way that you would want me to be sanctified in my life. So I ask us this morning, as Christians, I ask us that question. And then finally, I say to every one of us, I ask one more question before we sing. Do you feel weary? Have you felt beaten down and despondent? I just want to say, do you want renewed hope this morning that your glorification is going to come? Your perfection is going to come. He who has called you, he is faithful to perform it. And one day, child of God, I want us to know that we're going to be in his presence and there's going to be a change and we're going to have a new body and a new life and we're going to be perfect and holy just as he is. And I want to encourage you this morning to leave here with hope. Hope in the resurrection. Hope in the glorification that is going to come. I'm preaching about balance and stability this morning. I can walk through this life knowing I've been justified. I can walk through this life and have balance and stability knowing that he will help me be sanctified day by day. And I can walk with hope knowing that I'm going to be glorified with him one day.